You are listening to the Nerd's Guide to Financial Independence podcast, episode number 19. And this is part two of our little series on creative financing with the amazing Joe and Jen Delafay. I hope you guys are also enjoying this deep dive as much as I am. Hey friend, I'm Sarah, and welcome to the Nerd's Guide to Financial Independence podcast. I am here to show you that financial independence can be for anyone who wants it badly enough, and that investing in real estate doesn't have to be scary, take a vast DIY knowledge, or involve heaps of debt. When I am not sharing my own progress to FI, I'll be picking the brains of fellow like-minded, debt-conscientious investors. I am so glad that you are here, my fellow aspiring retirees. Hey guys, sorry for the interruption, but I really wanted to come on here and talk to you about the management program that I use to manage my real estate properties. And it is called Avail. If you have not heard me talk about it, I'm extremely obsessed with it because it is like cozy on steroids. So I do all of my tenant screening through there. I can do background checks, I can do criminal checks, I can do eviction record reports. You can have the tenants pay for their own background checks. And you can also push your advertisement for your properties out on various platforms. And once you get it listed, people can apply. You can add custom questions to your pre-screen. And then once they're in, you know, the system and you've chosen your tenant, they can do all their rent collection through there. They can put their security deposits in. They can show proof of insurance. And my absolute favorite part, which is really hard to find, is it is a one-stop shop because I can do all of my lease forms electronically. Goodbye paper. This is my favorite thing, especially as a real estate investor that has aspirations to be a passive investor. I want it all to be able to be handled on my phone, and I can do that with Avail, which is awesome. So if you want to check it out, I highly recommend pop over to Instagram, go in my bio, click on the link, and right at the top, you're going to see my favorite, you know, landlord software right at the top called Avail. Please go check it out. So what are the biggest barriers you see people buying the homes? Like, what are their biggest problems with not being able to get a mortgage? Like, what are the barriers that they're having that they need this kind of, you know, deal that, because I think a lot of people would be probably scared to do this kind of financing kind of situation just because you're kind of trusting that person to like pay you monthly.
And— Right. So the thing is, which is interesting, before COVID, 19% of the population could qualify for a mortgage. Mm-hmm. So 81% of the population could not get a mortgage before COVID hit. Now, since COVID, lots of people became unemployed and lost their jobs or maybe had a disruption in job where you're no longer 2 years on the job. So I'm imagining that number didn't go more, it went less. So I'm thinking, is it much less than 19%? Is it 15%? Is it 10%? I don't know. But even if it's just 19%, we'll even still stick with the same exact number. Our clients are the other 80-something percent of the population. So we have a big audience of folks who can't get a mortgage today. They don't qualify for one right now. Mm-hmm. And those are the folks that we help, and we get some of those folks. We can't help everyone. And where Jen was saying earlier, if they don't have a big down payment, well then renting to own is not for you, because if your furnace dies, what's going to happen?
Right.
What's going to happen if you're, so you want to have somebody who obviously has, you know, some type of resources where they're going to be able to afford things, whether it's an income or, you know, savings or something like that. And plus, if you don't have a good down payment, stick to renting.
Yeah.
So you don't have to worry about paying that stuff and save some money.
We've had people with, you know, just some credit, whether it was student loans, or maybe they were in an accident, had some medical bills, or I've got one woman, she wants to get in a house so badly. She owns her own business. She has all the money, but because she just, I forget, she went from one LLC to another thing and the banks were like, yeah, you need to be there for another 2 years. And she's like, oh my goodness, you know? So
yeah.
It's just, it could be, they're just a little particular when they're, you know, want you to be in a certain number of years.
And especially I'm thinking, like, I have a couple of friends that are just small business owners and, you know, if you operate at a loss, sometimes banks are like, I want to see you turn a profit for 2 years before I start loaning you money and different things like that. So there's lots of scenarios I'm sure out there that.
You know, and we just did a bunch and, you know, one, she's self-employed and her business has been like going nuts how good she's doing. And we have, I mean, we've got another one where it's the same situation where he works for the city of Rochester where we live, and he's been working for his, on his credit for a little while, and he's definitely on the way to where he wants to be. And another one, he's like, yeah, I could probably get a mortgage right now, but I really love this house. So I just want to move in now because I can get it. He's like, I'll get a mortgage. It won't even take me a year. So we're fine with that too, whatever you want to do. So that's the neat thing about it is you just, somebody might just love the house that you have, and knowing that they can move in a week, they just love that fact. And Jen, when she bought her first house, did a rent to own.
I didn't even really think, I mean, it wasn't really like how we run it, but I remember I had to move out of my apartment by like October, and I wasn't going to close because of course I didn't know the process back then forever.
Right.
And so the house was empty, and I'm like, can I just move in and pay you rent for, you know, X amount of days? And of course they were kind of like, oh, well, I don't know. And I'm like, I need to live somewhere, please. Like, I don't want to go back to my parents' house. I mean, it'd be fine. But, and so looking back, it was creative, and I did it. And yeah, even then they kind of like looked at me weird. I'm like, why not? And then here I am today. Like, it's our main gig.
Your business model. Yeah.
Well, but that's the point. If you need to move in and you want to pay rent for a month or two and then buy it, you can. Obviously, if you want to wait 3 or 4 or 5 years, if we have that ability, or longer, then we let you do that too. That's the unique thing about our program.
And some people don't realize, because I don't even think I did, but Joe brought up to my attention, you know, land contracts were around forever, you know. So a lot of the older folks we talk to, they totally get it. And it's just more, you know, which it's kind of becoming more and more mainstream in my, obviously in our world. So the more we can kind of educate people, and they're like, wow, I never thought of doing it this way. And they love it because of the simplicity and the process, both buyers and sellers.
Yeah. Do you guys have specific screening criteria you look for? Because I feel like you just really have to screen your people well.
Yeah. So what we use is service. What will happen is we're going to do a showing. Most of our showings are virtual. So if you come through our house and you're, oh my goodness, I love it. We talk about how much you have for your down payment. We would typically, way back when, we would do these face-to-face meetings, but now we do them all virtual. Mm-hmm. And so once we have the coming to terms meeting, that the rent is this, we do have some rules as far as, you know, no trampolines and
the
pools.
Insurance policy.
Right.
Not until you own it. Then after you own it, you could have all your pools and trampolines you want.
Right.
But while you're still renting, there's small, very tiny restrictions. That's just due to insurance. So once they understand that, our big thing is you need to treat the property right. And they understand that because they're the owner. And that if you don't, you're going to be losing all of this money. They understand that.
Right.
And the opportunity that they're getting themselves into. And then once we come to the meetings of mine, all we do at that point is we're setting up a closing date. It's really super, super easy. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And I'm sure you have like your usual contract by now with your lawyer. So I'm sure after like the first one would be the hardest. And then after that, you're like, you get it at that point.
Oh yeah. And what we do is we actually use a service I was going to get to a second ago.
Yes. Yeah.
It's called ScreenTheTenant.com. Mm-hmm. ScreenTheTenant.com. They're actually out of Pennsylvania. And so once you do come to terms and they say, yes, we're ready to move forward, we take an application on, you know, both parties, whoever's going to be in the house. So if it's a couple of any sort, doesn't matter. We'll have them both in the application. We'll get pay stubs, driver's license copies, and then we submit this to a service that we just mentioned, and they do a wonderful background check. It's about $50 a person. It is $50 a person. Mm-hmm. So if it's a couple, you're going to spend $100. We don't even charge them for it.
Yeah, we just took care of that. Because if you're getting to that process, like, you're pretty sure, unless something major flags.
It could be an axe murder. No, I don't know.
Right.
But it does things like Megan's Law and just anything else that, you know, especially it also will help with credit, which if you need to make sure these people are going to qualify sooner than later, or they need a credit program now, they have that service available too.
And it also shows that you're doing your due diligence, because if all of a sudden these folks come in and like, no, this person's never going to qualify, and red flags come up, then you know that your person's never going to qualify for a mortgage. Wait a minute. But if they're like, yeah, they're going to have to just straighten up their credit, or they need more time in the job, or whatever they tell us.
Right.
You say, fine, we're comfortable, and move on.
And that's where, if, again, you don't have Joe's expertise, then you don't need are programs out there for $50 a person. It's totally.
And they have counseling and things like that too. So definitely check out ScreenTheTenant.com. They're wonderful. Yeah. We've been working with them for years now. And those folks, Paul, who owns it, they've been wonderful.
Yeah, Paul and
Joanna. But I will say we've got one in with them right now that we're waiting on. So we just submitted the application, Jen, the other night for one of our new houses that we're doing. And we wait to get our packet and then skim through that. Then after everything looks good, you call up your attorney's office and say how soon you can get the folks in there. And this, that process only takes 10, 15 minutes. And after that goes, they're running off to the house to go start moving in.
Yeah. That's so interesting. How many houses do you have going?
Right now, because you buy and sell, we'd have to look at our board. It's getting to the high teens.
Okay.
Because you'll have always some coming, some going.
Yeah.
Depending on when they're getting cash out and things like that. But is it 20? Could be. I don't even.
That's awesome.
But we've got a lot in the pipeline right now as far as houses that are available. We have a lot that we're made deals on that we're waiting to close on. And we have some that are still in the pipeline that we're working deals on buying. Yeah. So
it's like 23 active deals right now.
Are either of you realtors? That's my other.
No.
I don't feel like I have time for that. But for some reason, I feel like that's every new person's like, I'm going to go become a realtor. I'm like, that sounds like work. And yeah.
Absolutely no. If you're not already doing that, then, and you're an investor, then just dive more into the creative financing. I think it would be well worth your time spending some little money on education for courses. And, you know, we're going to be working on one coming out soon here.
There you go. I may take your course because I really want to dive into this because I'm a little, I have my portfolio loan, which helps, but at some point getting 20% down payments is just a very slow way of doing it. So I have to do something different.
And the one thing about creative financing, which we love, is you can buy as many houses as your heart desires because there's not a bank telling you no. A lot of our deals are usually very little to no money. And if they do cost you some money, you could generally get that money back fairly quickly and be profitable. So if you could manage your money and start getting a little bit of a nest egg to where you could keep on bouncing through deals and it keeps growing over time because you've got cash flow coming in too monthly on top of the down payments you're receiving.
Right.
Which opens up the floodgates as far as how many deals do you want to do.
Right.
Do
because I don't have the like influxes of money. I feel like you have a little bit of like cash influx, like a flipper on a smaller level. And then your rent, like at the buy and hold people, like you kind of have both.
Well,
the things. It's more complex, but it's fascinating.
So. Yeah. Well, once you really learn how to structure the deals, I mean, to be quite honest with you, if you were to wholesale a deal or two, or if you do one of these and you get a $20,000 down payment, we're working on right now.
Like you just need a couple. When we've had we put everybody into the houses that were rentals. Our bank account, business bank account was very small. And, you know, over time now, we do have a little bit of extra cash to play with. Do the down payments and all of that jazz. But
I'm now thinking about one of my properties because the person in it, I wonder if they'd want to buy it because I know they have like somewhat cash and they really like the location of the house. So now I've got me thinking, I'm like,
I'm looking to change my business model a little bit or however we worded it was, we're going to sell this property and rent to own you. We'd love to offer to you first, but you're going to need
10% down.
Well, how much you would ask, how much do you have for your down payment?
Right.
If you move in, you don't want to tell them right away. So I was going to say, getting into the creative financing, it really comes down to, and this is like his favorite line, I think he's told me a million times, is not what you say, it's how you say it.
Mm-hmm.
And running the scripts and just being able to talk to people with confidence and knowing that you're going to hear no, because this isn't going to work for everybody. Some people do need their money and they need the cash now and this isn't going to work. But there are people that don't need the whole lump sum and they're like, yeah, sure, take over my payments or I'll take monthly payments because maybe the landlord has been collecting a little bit of cash and he would still really like that.
Mm-hmm. Or she.
So you just never know, but it is a numbers game. You have to put yourself out there and just tough skin, thick skin. And
because that's my biggest thing. Because I'm like, I would love to do like a yellow letter campaign or some kind of like direct mail camp, like where you just start sending out mailers to specific areas. But I'm so terrified to actually get someone that says, like calls me because I don't even know what to do with that. So I would love a course or something kind of teaching that. It'd be very interesting to learn because I'm like, if I actually got someone that called me back, I don't even know exactly how to frame it to not sound fraudulent.
Okay, we're going to make it so simple. Literally, you'll just be reading a script and you're going to memorize that script. And I used the script when I was talking to our buyers in the very beginning. I remember holding the paper and I was shaking.
All these
calls and he's actually hanging like yellow signs around town saying we've got rent to own. Because again, we just flipped three houses over to rent to own. So we need to like fill these fast because we were used to that rental income. And
yeah,
the phone was just ringing because, you know, I was answering the calls back then.
Right.
And I was just kind of getting like punched in the face one after another. And I'm kind of like, oh my gosh, like, am I doing this wrong? He's like, no, just keep going. And then all of a sudden I came out with my own way of saying things. I became more confident, like I was saying, and assertive. And now that I've done it for so long, like, I could do it in my sleep. But again,
yeah,
you have to start somewhere. And if it's shaking with your script in your hand, or you go in your car and make a phone call so no one else can hear you, you know,
yes,
you got to do it a lot to just become comfortable with it.
Or, yep, you know, in the beginning, it was so cute because she was like terrified. Like, honey, you got this. You can do it. And she's like, no, I can't do it.
I didn't want him listening to me talk.
Oh, no. I know. I wouldn't either. I'm like awkward. Uh-oh. So I'm like, no, I don't want to.
So terrified in the beginning. And I was doing it too, but I still.
He was on the phone all the time with the banks and this. And I'm like, I was a teacher. I could, you know, teach those little kids. And I talked
yeah
to my, you know, faculty members. But getting on the phone with these strangers. And
yeah
then you realize, okay, I don't have to let somebody talk to me that way. I'm like, okay, thank you. Have a nice day. Clearly.
Right. Not for you.
No.
Then what we did was we kind of got smart and had answered services answering those calls. So now when you have an incoming phone call, you could be driving in your car. You could be at the supermarket shopping. There's so many other things that you could be doing where you have this call unexpectedly come in and you're not in the right mind frame to take it. Right?
Yeah.
So that's why it's
super important. But you want to
take it. You never want to miss a call. So this Pat Live we talked about earlier.
Yes.
They take all of your inbound calls.
It was worth every penny when we finally did that. Oh my
God. Yeah.
It's the greatest thing ever. So if,
and then you get an email and it tells you exactly what.
Like a transcript. Yeah.
Yeah. So you'll be like, oh my gosh, this person has 20 grand out. Like call her right away.
Yeah.
Now we've grown so much. We've taken this full time. We actually have a girl, Stacy, who is our buyer's associate. So she actually will do these calls for us. So we can continue to grow and develop and create courses for her.
Yeah, that's awesome.
Well, and the same thing goes on the other side. We have two of the guys that we hired that help work with sellers.
Yeah.
And so like for a lot of folks, they're terrified to talk to a seller.
Mm-hmm.
Well, if you get people who want to learn the real estate business and you pay them a commission that, you know, once again, they get paid once they produce.
Yep.
And they are also fascinated with just how to get into real estate too. So some of their income is coming from knowledge. Some of it's going to come from, you're going to learn on the job too. We're going to pay you this.
Mm-hmm.
And the commission checks they get are very nice. So they're not some tiny little things. So obviously they're motivated too. And they're growing as humans, which is fantastic.
Yeah.
And now at that point, if you're scared to get on the phone, you have somebody else do it for you. And my old boss told me, he's like, if you want to make money, he was get people to sell for you. And if he's like, if you want to make a lot of money, mm-hmm, get a lot of people to sell for you.
There is so much value in making yourself do it. I will say that.
Yeah. Just to know what it's like to be in the trenches. And then, but a lot of people don't know when to outsource either. And I'm trying to work on that.
You know, when you're like running around like a chicken with her head cut off and you sincerely can't, like, you just feel like you can't, no matter how many lists you make or how many times you're time blocking and literally like, you're just look at each other and you're like, I'm like, I can't, like, we need to change this up. And we needed almost some, we had a mentor at one point tell us like, you guys need to grow. Like, it can't be just you two. You're not going to get bigger if you are doing everything because you're just like, you're doing the same thing. And we're like, okay. And we took the leap and it wasn't as hard. And if anything, I would do it sooner if we could have.
Yeah.
For sure. And they say, stop working in your business and start working on your business.
On your business. Yeah.
And Jen hit it on the nose. If we did this a long time ago, you know, it would have saved a lot of frustration.
This wasn't our plan. Our plan was he was going to be working in the car business and one day he was going to leave and I was going to start taking real estate, you know, real, you know, hardcore when the kids both went off to school.
Well, that's mm-hmm what
happened. COVID happens. He comes home. Kids are now home full time. So that's
another
short and a half. But you just make
and how happen old are your, you have two kids, right? And how old are they?
Yep. My gosh, they are 5 and 7. They're about to be 6 and 8. So we've got a kindergartner and a second grader.
That's awesome. Yeah. Because I think people always say, there's so many naysayers online that are like, oh, I could do it if I didn't have kids or if they weren't home with me or, and I hate that excuse because
it is that's that, right? I mean, it depends. We go back to like, I've got on the couch right now. We are big fans of Think and Grow Rich and just setting your mind right. And really like, what's your burning desire? You know,
right,
you want to create wealth and a legacy for your family, and you have a bigger picture for yourself, and you're going to do what it takes, and you're going to sacrifice. Right now, it's obviously we're all kind of stuck inside-ish anyway. Yeah. So, you know, what better time than now?
Right. And I think one of you guys posted, and I can't remember, it was more about like the lifestyle design. And I think that's kind of what you realized with your like early days with rentals. And this, does this allow you to have more of your own time having your business structured this way, I'm guessing?
Yeah, we were in Las Vegas and he had to go outside and deal with a plumbing issue in one of the rentals. And he's getting all worked up because we're in Vegas and he's back home and there's really nothing we can do about it. And the plumber, you know, charged this and that. We had to pay for it, you know. And I was like, what the heck? Like, this is not.
We just put a new faucet in, okay? And the new faucet died. And the only way to replace the new faucet is with a newer faucet that's like $600. Right. And we're $600. In Las Vegas and I can't go fix this faucet or have somebody
else. Play blackjack. We'll deal with this later.
Me, it was just like, it was like a really good faucet too. It wasn't like some like off brand. It was,
we don't use that plumber anymore.
And it was under warranty, but it was the whole story. I was just so frustrated. Right. I'm like, you know, this being a landlord thing is really where now in that situation, they call a plumber.
Yeah.
We don't even get a call. They might just say, hey, Joe, Jen, what's a good
who
plumber
do you
to
recommend?
Talk to?
We don't want to get them off.
And then, you know, do this, but that's as far as it goes.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So that's where we really decided we don't want to also have to be our own management company and have to deal with all of the other things that come along with it. We really want to focus on growth. And, you know, when my job that I left, I worked for one of the biggest dealerships in the country and I was the head of finance and my job was growing up the ladder and I was just kept going. So that's why it was so hard for me to walk away. The income is fantastic. And it gave us a lifestyle that you couldn't even imagine.
Well, tell them what you call it. What do they call it?
They call it the golden coffin.
Yes.
Because you'll make a ton of money, but you'll never get out of it.
He never saw the kids. You know, he's coming home at 10 o'clock at night. He would work like 14 days straight for a big crazy sale. I mean, it's just not going to, he'd get his 2 weeks off, which was nice. But, you know, I mean, now.
We're the quote that always floats around is the money they pay you to give up on your dream.
But the thing is this too, is like what I always say about a job, doesn't matter what income you make, you could be making X, Y, Z, doesn't matter. A job typically for most people is just over broke. And a job, that's where I realized that if we switched over this model, thanks to COVID pushed me out of there because I have a medication that I take that puts me at high risk. Yeah. Sitting in a small office with hundreds of people, that could have been a problem. And there's many people that I work with who've had COVID. And if I get it, I'm one of the ones maybe not get so lucky just to lose my taste. It could be fatal for me. So at that point, I knew we had to socially distance. And I said to my wife, and my wife said it to me, you know, get your head out of the dump. I've been doing this your whole life, but it's time.
I mean, it was the burn the boats theory.
Yeah.
That's what it came to. And it was scary, not going to lie. I mean,
burn the boats. They're still my friends, but we decided meant to make mental change.
Took the leap.
Yes.
Yes.
And we wanted to do it. That was the point, but we weren't ready. We didn't think yet. And we actually found out we were more than ready. And then we also found out we should have done this much sooner.
Much sooner.
But, you know, the timing happens when it happens for a reason. Mm-hmm. And right now with COVID going on, there's going to be a lot of folks who need help from people who can be creative and not just offer you 50 cents on the dollar.
For the next few years.
Someone recently posted like how long it takes for people to be foreclosed on. And I think that's really interesting because there's going to be so many weird forbearance deals. And I think everyone and their brother is like, oh, everyone swore this year was going to be the crash and then that didn't happen. And then everyone swears next year is going to be the crash. And it's like, no, like the real estate hit is going to be a while down the road for years to come to kind of watch. Because the foreclosure process in most states is so slow.
Right. So. And so I think you're going to deal with a minimum half a decade of this, minimum from the after effect, if not even further.
Yeah.
Because what affects you today, you might be okay today. 6 months from now, your situation might be different. This isn't going to go away overnight. I wish it did, but it's not going to.
And I think it'll be interesting that a lot of people don't realize while their loan is in forbearance, they can't refi, they can't do, because their on-time payment history isn't on-time payment history. And so you can't, it's going to limit the people that can get into loans or buy new houses or move or, it'd be a good time to have your business model.
And that's why, once again, we really truly help people. And
exactly.
And they don't
always, because I'm sure there's a lot of really good families that just ended up in a hard spot, and they might even have savings, but they're like, we're going to put it in forbearance because we don't know any better and we're just worried about the future. And so we're going to do this plan, and then they're stuck.
What we really have kind of mastered and continue to always work on is the newest trends of how to buy houses with very little to no money, how to market them with very little to no money. So you don't have to spend a lot of money in marketing. Mm-hmm. You don't have to spend a lot of money on buying the property. You're not going to have to worry about using your credit or a bank. Mm-hmm. And therefore, anybody with the right kind of mindset and the burning desire that I want to be a real estate investor, and getting yourself around a good team of people is key.
Yes. Mm-hmm. You need your team.
You need a team. Our real estate investor guys who were rookies, one of them is a 21-year-old mm-hmm. who graduated high school. And now when we met him, he's working at McDonald's like a couple days a week. Very intelligent, but just didn't know the direction, wanted to be in real mm-hmm. estate. And his development, I mean, he's a real estate investor now, yeah. making deals.
Yeah.
And so, you know, getting yourself around the right team, a winning team is key.
Yeah.
So
there are probably so many high school students that go off to college and they shouldn't have gone off to college. And this would be such a good niche for them because I'm like, all my degrees don't mean anything. And I'm going to be making more money in real estate someday. and I've had a lot of college. So yeah.
About at 17, 18 years old, by the time you're 30 to 40 years old, you're set for, if you play your cards right.
Right.
20 years in this career, you could be doing very well.
But at the same time, even if you're 50 and you're just like, hey, I'm really interested in buying a house and renting or doing this, like it's never too late. Like start with one property. I can't stress that enough, because one could turn into two if you want it. It could turn into 10. It could turn into so much more. Yeah. It just, you know, whatever you want of it. And if you just want a couple, that's fine too. But you know, it's really your business, however you want
to. Well, and the neat thing too about creative financing that we haven't even mentioned yet, that
This
could help you buy your own home.
Oh my gosh, yeah.
Yeah.
Because
my I guess creative financing private money is my house that I have. So, okay. But so, this is my house hack, so.
Well, and that's what's neat is because once again, if you find some of these deals where Jen's saying we're going to buy another house because she wants to find another house to live in because she doesn't like her closet space. It's never big enough. So would that be the case?
I could go for a bigger closet. Girl, after my own heart. No, that was like, I really like a fireplace. So I'm like jealous of your fireplace because my fireplace is in the basement. Like my tenants get it. And so, which sounds ridiculous, but it's just like things I like being cozy. I like a fireplace, and a bigger closet is always important.
Well, and Jen, I don't blame her because I bought this house before I even knew Jen.
It's a beautiful house in a nice neighborhood.
But it, you know, obviously if I knew better, I would have found a house with a much bigger closet if I knew she was coming.
Well, before the kids, I just had their rooms, and now we filled the two rooms, and I'm like, okay, now I'm in the teeny tiny shoe
room. Right. So, she needs a shoe bedroom. No.
So with that being the case, our goal is to find our own house. And we know lots of people who've done the same thing, and they've gotten their own house without having to go through a bank. So if you've got bad credit, you can still own your own home with creative financing. And that's the cool thing about it too. So it's not just for a business. It could be for your very own place of your own.
Yeah.
Or once again, you could turn it into a business and turn it into a lifestyle, because if COVID wasn't going on right now, I would promise you, if we were doing homeschooling or distance learning, we would probably be doing this from Florida half the year.
Distance learning.
Yeah.
Homeschooling, whatever you want to call it.
Like, hey, we're homeschooling you. We're going to Florida for a month.
Yeah.
That's what's nice about it.
The life by design, like you were mentioning.
Yes, exactly.
That was
the hashtag you guys were using. Yeah, the life by design, which I don't think is that common of a term around here, but I like that because I think.
Yeah.
I just did a video the other day where it was talking about like, since 2016, like all the lifestyle decisions I've made to get to where I'm at right now. It's kind of interesting to think through. So because it's like people think it's fast and like there's so many like little calculated steps, and then pretty soon it's like, oh, it's so easy now. But it was like 5 years of work. So
That's how I feel. I feel like right now we're in the middle and it's messy because I see where we're going to go. But I'm not there yet. So you're still grateful for everything that we have. And they're really hard, you know,
These 5 years ago, I was shocked I'd be here. And then I'm always like, but now you're on to like the next thing. I'm like, now I want like 10 rentals or 10 something. I don't know. Apparently I'm going to rent to own 10 houses, but that's kind of the next step.
I will tell you the one thing Jen brought to me that really was so, so helpful. I don't know where she found this thing from, but it's
my life coach.
I have a life coach also. Yeah.
At the beginning of the month, we talk about the past month and all the achievements and accomplishments we've made.
The wins.
The wins for the yes. month. And she writes them down on a paper. And, you know, oh, we closed on this house. Oh, we sold this house. Oh, we did get these two houses under contract. Oh, we did flip this house. Oh, we did, you know, wholesale this house.
And our teammates mm-hmm. grew this way. And yeah. We're able to help that person.
And then all the sellers, like, this person got to move to be closer to their grandparents mm-hmm. and, or grandkids. And this person yes. got to do this. And, like, once you start writing this stuff down and you figured out really how much you did in a month, it's mind-blowing. But yes. it's taken the 20 minutes to do that. And then you're realizing that even though it might not always seem like you're moving forward, that as long as you keep on persistently trying, you are moving forward.
When you're in it, it is a blur sometimes.
Oh, yeah. No, I don't know what I did this summer, just like painted stuff. Like, I don't know what I didn't well, sleep.
Write all your wins out for a month. I think it was August that I did. And he was like, oh my gosh, I was kind of feeling like we didn't do anything. Now you just show me that we did.
Right. Yeah.
It changed my attitude. I was so happy because I get pleasure by accomplishments.
Yep.
And if I feel like I'm being stagnant or stale, it mentally just destroys me. So
yeah.
when she's helping me point out all of the wins that we had, and how many other people that we've helped them win too, mm-hmm. And all the other people that we've helped employed, so they've had jobs and careers for their family. I mean, it just, it's a spider web. It's huge. It's fantastic. So that was really, I think, key. So because you always got to know that you are moving forward, is whatever speed you are, is in the very beginning, we were crawling, but now we're in a different speed. But we
right. Because I'm like, your number of deals seem like... I think I broke out in like a cold sweat, but it's amazing. But you guys, like, you developed systems to get to that level. You didn't start there.
So. I mean, and it's still like little tiny wins. Like, I can't tell you, I'm still so excited that I figure out how to sync my Google Calendar with the CRM. Like, it looks like I won the lotto or something. But now yeah. our team has access to our life. So instead of us being everybody's beck and call, I feel like I have control and say, you know what? We need family time between these hours. This is yep. a doctor's appointment, or we're going to take this day and go do that. And not be on, like, sometimes when you work for yourself, you always feel like you should yeah. be on.
Yeah. Really
can't do that. You'll burn out.
You're on beck and call between contractors, between your guys buying, between the guys selling, between deals you've got working and attorneys, and this is going on, and all the other things are going on. So
yes. really, yeah.
to help block time where if the guys need to get on a seller call, like, they could schedule it for yeah. us.
Personal boundaries are, I'm a very big fan of that. And I think people need more boundaries than they give themselves. So yeah, it's very important to figure that out.
So I am terrible at that. That's my definitely my weak point, because I always am ready to make a deal. I'm the yeah. kind of person where it's never too early or too late to make money.
Like my anniversary or my birthday, he's on the beach both times and he was doing business. And I was like, that's fine. I'm just gonna go hang out in the water with the kiddos. And
yeah.
You know, I understood though, when it's growth mode and you need to sacrifice, like I was saying earlier, then I yeah. understand too. But at the same time, there's moments where you just need to check out for a little bit to rejuvenate and come back yeah. even stronger.
She's going to start planning vacations where you don't get cell service. No.
we do, actually. We go to the Adirondacks like every 2 years, and it's our favorite thing. You can't get us, so.
Yes.
Sorry, I mean, not sorry.
I think that's perfect.
We're dating for a little over a month, and I whisk Jen away on a trip, and we go to visit my grandparents in Florida. We go on a short cruise, and on the cruise, like, I'm getting my cell phone. I think she caught me on the phone or something like that, like calling work to check in to make sure everything, like, I've always been a little bit OCD when it comes to work, just
they
because
they can survive without you. It's like a
yeah.
I was like, no, they can't. You know, I didn't know any better.
Yeah.
So yeah, she's definitely always been, you know, it's my challenge, and thank goodness for her, because if not for me,
right,
I tend to burn myself out. And then
yeah, you've come a long way from like feeling like you have to impulsively like answer the call, because I've had jobs like that where you feel like you have to take the call, to quitting your job this year. Like, that's a huge switch. So
yeah, and it's definitely a different change, because before I was always in meetings and never around the kids. I've spent more time with my wife and kids in the last 8-9 months than I ever have.
Mm-hmm. And I've been in quarantine for the last 2 weeks, and it's been an experience. So yeah, I have one daughter and she's 18 months old. So, oh, but she is active. Holy smokes. I'm like, me and a toddler, like I need childcare. It's very important.
Yeah, no, that's it all. Yeah.
But it's, you know, and that's the fun thing about real estate is once you could do this full time and you start having a system in place, mm-hmm. Off a few deals, you could replace your yearly income.
Yeah.
Off a few deals a year. Now we're going to get to the point, our goal for next year is really to do that 5 a month to 10 a month.
Yeah.
That's really our challenge, because when you're doing growth mode, and you're always trying to keep on refining the process and try to work out all the kinks, because really you're starting this from the ground up. You're going to follow everybody's same thing, but there's always going to be the different variables. There'll always be challenges to it. And I've worked for, I mean, really large businesses. And the one thing they always work on is how to get better. I mean, I'm in meetings with other heads of departments, and there's millions of dollars worth of income in this room per year.
Right.
Just trying to figure out how to get a little bit better. And so it's constantly trying to evolve, finding the newest techniques, finding out what's currently working. A lot of the things, if you Google creative financing, some stuff's so outdated.
There really are not great resources on creative financing. Even like YouTube, I don't think the content's done very well, and it still doesn't make a lot of sense. Well, so
that, and most people who talk about it aren't actually doing it currently. And if you're going to be talking about it, you got to be doing it, and not just like, hey, I did it. Well, I mean, sure, anybody could do something once or twice or however money, but things change very rapidly. If you look at your telephone now, look at a four-year-old cell phone. That thing is a dinosaur.
Yeah. Right?
So with technology and everything that's happening now, stuff that came out 2, 3, 4, 5 years ago, okay, get it. But you start getting some of that older stuff, I mean, it's just, it gets to be outdated. And what we do is the most current, recent stuff. And that we've developed and honed over time, been in big, huge networks, mastermind groups. And with huge investors. And we've spent, I mean, tens and tens and tens and tens of thousands of dollars with mentors and coaches and in big mastermind groups. And just to kind of find out what's the best of the best. And then
fine tune, because it's all details when it comes down to it. And I think that's what intimidates people. But once you know, learn it, like I said earlier, like you'll learn it, and you're doing it, and you're doing it the right way.
And then at that point, the sky's the limit. And that's the key.
Yeah. Very interesting. Well, thank you guys so much for, I could have talked to you guys all day. So I've let this just go, because I'm like, this is fascinating. I think people need to know this. So we might have to do like a podcast 2.0 once I like listen to this and digest it a little bit, because it's very interesting. And it's just a lot different, because I'm used to following buy and hold people, and there's a lot of flippers, but I feel like that business is so much different in terms of it being a job than, and this is a little more in the vein of like, so I guess passive air quotes, because real estate is never passive, but closer along the lines of, you know, you can systematize it to the point where you're not working in the business as much. So,
well, and the thing is, like you mentioned earlier, you want to get to 10 houses this year.
Yeah.
You want to get 10 houses.
10 houses someday.
You can have 10 houses next year.
Yep.
Yeah.
And a bank won't let you do that.
You know, maybe you get lucky and they do, but generally they don't. And if they don't, that's the thing, is you could have 10 next year. You could do 20, get 20 houses next year.
Yeah.
It's just basically on, you know, how much you push the gas pedal.
Right.
But it all works. And that's the key to it. It works. And that's.
And people love it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So.
And I think the interest, so one of the other things, so I'm known for, like, I did Dave Ramsey forever. That's how I started out on Instagram. And so I don't know if you guys know this about me or not, but I always talk about people with like your relationship with debt, because I think people look at leveraging in your business differently than like your personal finances. And so I don't know how you guys manage, like, because debt is kind of a risk in a way. And so how, I'm sure you're, you know, leveraging heavy on the business. Do you manage your personal finances differently, or how do you, I guess, how do you separate out, how do you run your family versus business? And because people say like, oh my goodness, like think about how much debt you're taking on when you're doing that many deals a year. How does that?
The difference in our debt is non-recourse debt. The debt's not against you personally.
Yeah.
It's not tied to your credit. You go into a bank and guess what happens if all of a sudden you can't pay for your place? The bank can start garnishing and taking things from you and legally taking actions against you for that. Because that debt is to you, where this is non-recourse debt. So if the market were to ever crash like it did in 2008, and some of our investors listening might not have been around for that, but that was the reason why when it started crashing, you could get some amazing deals if you had access to money back then. And that's where I saw a huge, huge opportunity and struck at 2008, 2009, 2010, is when we started buying a bunch of properties. We started getting pretty heavy into it at that point, because I saw that opening where we had access to money, and being my background. So at that point, we exploited it. And we were doing BRRRR, before anybody
before it was Burr.
I shared him. I'm like, oh my gosh, we're doing this Burr strategy thing.
Like, I'm like, what's Burr? And she's like, well, you buy it, then you rehab it, and blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, babe, we've been doing that forever. And she's like, yeah, I know, but it's a thing called Burr. I'm like, well, no, we've been doing Burr before Burr was Burr.
Yes, yeah.
But that was the point, is we were doing that, and that was working out well as far as accumulating properties. But then once we figured out this method, and it just, like
I said, because Burr kind of eats away your cash flow if you like continually like refi and suck. I guess it depends how much money you suck out of deals, well, but it.
And it does, it not only does that though too, but because there's such a small amount of cash flow, one thing could happen and it could destroy your whole year.
Yeah.
And then you're negative for a year off one furnace that could go bad or one thing could go bad, where now when you're able to get over market rent, because our folks pay typically more than the rent, and you're getting large down payments.
Yeah.
Your cash flow is immense now. Now it's fantastic. And then once they do cash you out, you're getting bigger, biggest back on checks then.
Yeah.
One of our friends got one that was well over six figures on a house they forgot they even owned.
I forgot. I'm like, I want to get to that point. Right?
Casual. Okay.
That's what happens with these houses. What they call it is the set it and forget it. And once you put them in there, then
they've been doing it so long that she's like, I don't talk to any of the buyers, you know, the tenants rather, they talk to my assistant. So, I mean, once you get going, you can really just literally be doing what you want to be doing.
So yeah, that's the goal.
Do you carry any debt on your personal side? I know this is probably not a question you.
Small amount on cars and our house, but our house, I refinanced it a long time ago. I originally bought the house with a 30-year mortgage and then realized, what did I do? And I refinanced it for a 15-year mortgage when rates actually went down. And at that point, that was like 12 years ago.
Yeah.
So there's not a whole lot left in our house. There's probably some, but not a lot. And then two cars, really, that's it.
Yeah.
And then at that point, we do have our business debt, but our business debt, once again, is really not our debt.
Right. Yeah. Which is really interesting. The non-recourse, you mentioned at the beginning, and I'm really glad we circled back to this, because I was like, oh, I need to come back and have you explain that a little bit, because that makes so much sense, where people that are very risk adverse, there's a lot, I feel like there's a lot of like levels of safeguards with this kind of model. So
that is not in your name.
Yeah. Right. The worst case scenario, the house goes back to the seller.
And
no harm, no foul. But obviously that's not the business model that you
want to. Right. And like, you don't want that to happen, but that's a lot better than losing all your properties. So.
And generally the seller doesn't want the house back. So as long as you're taking care of it, and even if you're cash flowing from it, they're still willing to work with you. So that's the benefit of doing this, is they don't want the house back because you've been taking care of it for so long. Oh, I got to handle this thing. No way. You know, and they're happy. Just have you keep doing what you're doing. And if it's working, then just don't stop. So there might be times where you might have to resell the same house 1, 2, 3, 4 times. It could be a possibility.
Yeah.
If you pre-screen the correct way in the beginning, that will help alleviate that issue.
You learn.
Do all of the COVID crazy laws that are happening right now that are like crushing mom and pop landlords, do those apply for you guys for your rent? Because I feel like if they don't pay their rent, you'd get your house back, wouldn't you?
Yeah, so that's why our tenants are actually all in really good shape, knock on wood.
Right, because I feel like your tenants would pay you because they want to keep their house because they're trying to own it.
Well, if somebody gave you $20,000,
and
they know if they don't pay that they're going to lose that.
Yeah.
And this is something that they've been calling their own for a while now too.
Yep.
You know, unless really something terribly happens. We had some of our tenant buyers run into some issues, and you know, one he skipped a month because his dad had an issue, and you know, we just added that month a little bit to each next few months, so he's getting that back caught up again. And you know, we'll be as flexible as possible because we understand stuff happens. But we have a lot of our friends. I was just reading a post this morning where it's about $10,000. The tenant just says, "I'm not paying anymore because I don't have to pay anymore."
Yeah,
and they go to court finally, and the attorney says either you can have them move out now, and if they do, you cannot go after them for the balance, or you can continue this process and it's gonna be a bunch more months of them living in your house for free. What do you want to do?
Yeah,
it's like, I just have to cut my ties now, but I've lost $10,000.
It's sad.
And there's people taking advantage of good people.
Difference between you really in a circumstance where you had your own shop, or you worked at a restaurant that got closed down and never reopened, you know, but
And then
people just scamming and take advantage of the situation. However it is, it's a really bad situation. We understand.
Right.
And I feel bad for those folks. But however, when you collect $10, $20, $30, $40,000 down from somebody, they have major skin in the game. Yes. They're going to want to make sure that, especially because we have to record the payments being paid on time. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So they want to make sure it works out well for them too. And we want them to, we have their, you know, obviously we want them to work out well for mm-hmm. them as well. So
I do use electronic payment systems all online that report to the credit bureaus, like their on-time payment history. So I use like building credit programs. So hopefully that disincentivizes people from not paying because their payment history would be impacted and their credit score would be impacted potentially. So, but you guys have a lot more, yeah, safeguards against that kind of thing. So
right. That's actually kind of neat though.
Yeah. I'd be interested to hear more about that.
Yeah. I use Avail. They're really good. And I started using them because they do leases electronically. And that was a lot easier because I didn't want to do like DocuSign or like some kind of signing program and Cozy, but yeah. I wasn't like at the level of Buildium with the management and things. So, right. Avail was kind of like the Cozy 2.0, if you guys have ever used that, but,
yeah,
good enough.
That's been really good.
Yeah, so, we didn't call it. It seems to be working well, but it's great to look into something. Always, like you said, you're always refining your business and always trying to look at new creative ways and how to innovate and get better.
Yeah, I mean, forever we were going to the PO box, collecting the checks, changing them. What's going on?
No, it's on. So I do a pre-screen for my tenants, and I literally put in there like, "Will you do a online electronic rent collection?" And I tell them like up front in the pre-screen, like this will help build your credit. Kind of hinting at like also it could help you not build your credit if you don't pay me, and they have to say yes or I'm not talking to them. So yeah, it helps kind of weed out people that wouldn't do it. So
oh, that's fantastic, because with our folks, some of our folks might be trying to increase their credit, so that could be great.
Yeah, it's really nice, and I think they can I think there is a way they can turn off reporting if they want, but it's kind of nice. I think Cozy might do it as well, but I know Avail does for sure. So that definitely helps.
I wonder how it reports it, but I'll have to look into that.
The link is in my bio on Instagram if anyone wants a shameless plug for anyone interested in landlord software.
Yeah, cool. Yeah, we'll definitely be checking that out too. That's just love to
it's
find
it. It's nice
yourself.
To hear what's working for other people.
It has a little more options. When you get in there, it's a little like it's a little bulkier than Cozy, but it has a lot more features, and I have a lot more options in terms of like security deposits and things. Like I can do pet rent, I can do pet security deposits, I can do a pet fee. Like there's so many different ways you can structure it. And there's like a box for everything, which is nice. So, because I had problems in Cozy trying to figure out how to do the various deposits you collect. So.
Yeah, I just keep adding bills. Like we've got a couple properties where normally I put the water into their name, but these small towns, they want it in the
Old
name, which is actually land trust. So it gets all confusing to them, but I'm like, I'm gonna have to add a bill because you're responsible for the water.
Yeah. So you can kind of build it in easier that way, which is really nice. We think Cozy was kind of limited in how you add bills in there. It's a little confusing. So this was helpful. So
I use Venmo for flexing.
Yeah. Oh my gosh, Venmo. I don't understand how people don't have Venmo yet. So I run my life on that on the side. I'm like screening like plumbers and contractors being like, can I Venmo you for this work? My final question I've been doing lately. So 2020, my like goal was to outsource more stuff because I worked in my life and my business too much. And so my big thing this year was I stopped mowing my lawn. I'm like, nope, not doing it. Like I have a lawnmower, I have a leaf guy, I have a guy doing my snow. I had a cleaning lady for a while, but I canceled her because I'm trying to make it through this house hack and not lose all my money. But now that we're through there, I'll probably bring her back soon. But what do you guys do either in your personal life or in the business that's like changed the game, like outsourcing wise, or what do you enjoy?
Gotta say, preface it by saying, like, I totally agree with that. Right now we're in this, and again, this is for people who say like, I'm too busy or this or that. Like we're in the situation where we can't have anyone in the house with his medical.
Exactly.
So we've kind of gone backwards in that sense as far as personal, but I'll say when I'm able to, then I will definitely outsource like meal prepping. Like I'd love to have like some sort of meal service to help me out a little bit.
Yes.
But for our business, we've grown tremendously with that, I would say.
How many employees do you guys have, or how many people do you have?
So we've got three guys who are three people in our team for either buying and selling. Mm-hmm. We do have contractors who, I mean, they work on other projects too, but we have, they've got three of them and they're
kind of, any of our own work.
Yeah. We don't do any of our own work.
We don't swing the hammer.
Awesome. You know, the single houses that we'll buy, like we haven't even done a walkthrough. The owner will do like a virtual walkthrough.
Yep.
And, you know, I'll send the contractor to the house and say, okay, what does it need? And he, we've done a lot of these together. So he'll say, okay, this will be done for $3,000 or whatever the number is, to paint it or whatever it's going to take. Oh, this one needs some flooring in the bathroom or whatever it be. And he'll kind of give us that number. So we have him and his crew on board. But really we try to keep it pretty easy. We do have a marketing woman that we work with, that we pay her. And she works a lot with our Facebook ads and making sure we're running the right ads and getting the right responses.
And we definitely, like we said, Pat Live, that was a huge, one of the
first things. That's the big thing.
A letter. You can turn it on, turn it off. I think it's a monthly fee. And if you go for maybe
nice. Yeah. So they give you X amount of minutes per month with their monthly fee. And then if you go over that, they charge you X per month. You know, and if it's something that we're interested, we could probably even forward you the questions that they ask ours. So, or you can just call us and they'll ask you the questions.
Yeah. I want to Google them, check it out. Yeah.
But it's great. So they're going to answer all these incoming calls, which frees up your time because really what you want to do is take advantage of automation.
Yeah.
And with technology being where it is, even with our CRM, when somebody reaches out to us, it starts the conversation and asks all the questions.
Like ManyChat, I think it's called. And we have Zapier, so we get a text lead coming in. So we've got a whole bunch of systems in place. And I would say the biggest thing I did last year was we have an accountant who we've worked with very closely, but I was still trying to do everything myself. I was trying to figure out QuickBooks. It's just, I couldn't get
I hate QuickBooks. It's like the bane of my existence. I do all my bookkeeping in Excel still, but I have 4 properties, so...
I hand it, and so I would say once you hit 5, like pay them. I'm like, what do I have to pay you to just email you the documents? And I'll break down our business statements to her and the credit card bill for the business and explain like which property is which and how much down payment was that and who, you know, and where.
Right.
She does the rest. So that if we open up QuickBooks, we should be able to see like everything and then we're good to go. Because otherwise, come January, February, it was like a meltdown every year.
Yes. No.
Now that I couldn't believe last January.
Even my friends and family.
She didn't even cry once. Not even once.
You're like worth every penny.
That was great. So between that, the automation, I mean, because you'll have people reach out to you who are inquiring. Some of them are reaching out to you and they're really not even, they're just time wasters where they're just trying to figure out what you're doing.
Yeah.
So with the automation of having a CRM, it does drive them down a series of questions and it does constant follow-up until they get back responding again, which has been huge as far as that. So once again, it's taking advantage of technology and automation to weed out a lot of the things. And that's why I'm saying what we do is all the newest of techniques. Mm-hmm. And that's why if you listen to some of these other things, if you can even find them, some of them are very outdated. So we've done a big blend.
Yes. Yeah. I always appreciate when people use technology and because I think a lot of people don't. And it just makes your life easier if you can figure out good systems. So
I love
don't
technology.
Have to do it all at once. Like again,
it's
taken years to get to this point.
But
one small step in the right direction will just.
But I like how you said like last year was your year of like streamlining bookkeeping. Like I feel like every year I like find something else I can do better. Yeah. So
and you find out what you're good at and what you enjoy, and you outsource what is just taking up way too much time. Like that you just don't have the patience and time for anymore.
Exactly.
And you hire somebody else to do it.
And then you're not crying every winter, which is fantastic because I've been there. Like I got really behind on bookkeeping, I think the first year and did it all at once at the end. And it was horrible. I'm like, I don't even remember what we bought with some of this. And you're like trying to find old receipts and
Well, I would feel bad because like she'd be at the table and it was like her battle station with receipts, and papers and forms and highlighters and all and calculators. And I'm like, I wouldn't even want to get next to her because I was like,
don't mess any papers up.
Interrupt, don't distract. And I was like, man, like when she says that they will do that and it was not, I mean, it's not,
money, but sanity.
I was like, every second because time is money. And you want to make sure that you're doing what's most valuable.
And now that you, as a girl, we want to make sure everything's really done correctly.
Exactly.
That too.
Awesome.
You want to be punctual. So.
Well, I look forward to your course. Do you guys have an idea? Are you working on it right now or is it something it's like in the dream pipeline or where are you guys at with that?
Yeah, we're currently working on it right now. And I would think it's going to be relatively, I mean, not soon because it's...
I would say the smaller package is probably going to come out first and we'll kind of, when they're ready, we'll launch them. Eventually we'll have...
A whole series.
But we do have, you can book a call with us. I set up the link on the link tree in my Instagram, which is just my name, Jen Delafave. and you'll be able to check us out there if you just wanted a 15, 30, 60 minute call and chat with us a little bit about, you know, what it is that we could do for you or you could do in your business to change your, you know, mindset and shift it to creative financing. And then the kits are really going to be the key components are going to be the scripts, really.
Yeah. And kind of, and I think the scripts are such a big part because you can do yellow letters. I feel like you can figure out with a lawyer how to do like the logistics, but it's like, what do you say to people when they call you? And so I think that's such a big value. So that's awesome.
We're doing it because so many people are, like you were just saying, on technology, you know, we've got older folks on Facebook messaging us. They don't want to pick up the phone sometimes, you know, and we'll do a virtual or even go, if you can go to their house safely with a mask and all of that.
Yeah.
Our guys will go over for us. But the way we've got it down to a science, really, and it shouldn't be hard. You know, the people that want to work with you are just so easy to work with, and the process is simple.
Yeah.
Well, awesome. That's kind of the point too, is, I mean.
Yeah. And we want to be able to share it in a simple way. Like, cause I know sometimes you've got to learn from the right teacher. When the student is ready, the teacher appears. So
right.
If you are connecting with somebody and you're understanding what they're saying, then that's the person for you, and you're going to learn best that way, I think.
Definitely. Well, that's awesome. Well, I'm really excited to follow you guys. Really excited to hear what you do in the future. I will probably totally sign up for this toolkit because I think that's where I want to go in 2021. So I hope there's some chats for us in the future, but you guys both have Instagram accounts. So yours was Jen Delafave, and you're under, are you just under your name as well, Joe?
Yes. Yeah. You know, and I do Slack a little bit on Instagram. So if you want to reach out to me, you can, but
yeah. You know, I followed you both, but Jen had a lot more content.
So. You know, she does. She kicks my butt in that area. But usually, like by the time like I'm doing so many calls and she's doing so much stuff, like
on the phone a lot with everybody. And I feel like I know the niche of Instagram and Facebook, and I'm just connecting with a lot of amazing people. Like I said, this community is just the like-minded investors, fabulous group of ladies, and I know some other guys are hopping on there too. So I'm excited. 2021 is gonna rock. Like
it's gonna be awesome. Yeah.
Each other on here, and one day maybe we could all meet up.
Oh my gosh. No, I've been talking with people for years about doing a meetup now, and I think we're growing a little bit, but I think you kind of get like the frequent faces. Like some people come and go, but you get really used to like who your people are. And
it's true. I have like Instagram friends, and it's so nice because you guys are doing what we do. And sometimes when you talk to your friends and family, like, okay, yeah, you're buying another house. Yeah.
It actually felt weird to start talking about real estate because I had learned everything online reading, and to say it out loud, I'm like, I don't sound like I know what I'm talking about in words to a human being in person. So
The fun thing about the meeting up part is where I do follow a lot of different investors, and one of my favorites, Grant Cardone.
Yeah.
You know, actually having an event, which would be great at like a tropical island once COVID's finally gone.
Yeah.
And
there's a lot of people in real estate who scuba dive also. I don't know if either of you have done that, but for some reason, there's a really big overrepresentation of scuba divers in the real estate community. So that like needs to be on the agenda. So,
I love being in the ocean. So anything that gets me in the ocean, I love it. So
beach,
she's a beach girl.
I'll be with you on the beach, but then I also do want to scuba dive, but otherwise cocktail.
Oh my gosh. Yeah. Let's make that happen.
So
sounds good. Awesome. Well, it was a pleasure talking to you guys. Sorry for keeping you for 2 hours, but it's been amazing. I think this is super exciting, and hopefully this helps some people get excited and, you know, gets you connected to some people that are really excited to learn about, you know, all the creative financing options. It's opened my mind because I thought about it as seller financing, and there's a lot more.
That's definitely part of it.
Yeah. And there's so much more to it. That's the best part about it. There's,
Yes.
So much fun things.
As I start to learn more, we'll do a podcast 2.0 of things I never knew before. Perfect. So,
Gosh, did you all just love this episode? I hope you're enjoying each of these podcasts as much as I am. If you are, please go subscribe to the podcast and spread the word by sharing your thoughts on Instagram. If you are not already aware, I'm pretty much obsessed with Instagram. So seriously, come find me. Instagram is the place where I'm going to announce every new podcast episode. I also share new products as I post them into my store. And I also am just going to be oversharing way too much about my personal life as a DIY landlord and a working boss mom. Thanks so much for listening.